I think it's useful to think about student media creation in sort of two different buckets, right? We have our big sort of media projects where students create media as a culminating activity to demonstrate their learning over the course of a unit of study. And then you have your sort of day-to-day activities, formative assessments, and routines where students can also use video.
Hello there, and welcome to today's episode, a bonus episode of the Easy EdTech podcast. If we haven't met before, my name is Monica Burns. I'm a former New York City public school teacher still here on the East Coast, and I've been out of the classroom for a few years leading professional development for educators and writing about all things EdTech on my blog, classtechtips.com. If you're used to joining me on Tuesdays for new episodes of the podcast, well, welcome. Today is a special bonus episode on a Friday, and today's episode is in partnership with We Video. Before we jump into today's episode, a quick reminder. Don't forget to head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast. That's where you can find all of the show notes for today's episode. And if you're listening to this on your phone, maybe on a podcast player like Apple Podcasts or Spotify, you'll see the link for the show notes in the description. You can click on that and it'll take you out to all of the resources we talk about today. Today's episode is sponsored by our friends at We Video, the leading interactive video platform that's transforming learning experiences worldwide. Video creation encourages students to collaborate with each other, share discoveries, and demonstrate their learning as they develop future-ready communication, critical thinking, and creativity skills. With We Video, students across grade levels and subject areas can create a variety of multimedia projects, like green screen videos, podcasts, screencasts, personal narratives, portfolios, and flipped classroom projects. Educators can foster dynamic project-based learning opportunities with ready-made video projects and deliver rich, interactive video content that provides real-time results for future lessons. Today's episode is titled Helping Students Share Their Learning Through Video, a bonus episode with We Video. And I'm so excited to chat with Stu Jernigan from their team. You're going to hear our conversation. I can't wait for you to listen to all of the activity ideas, the deep thinking about the power of video in the classroom that we talk about in today's conversation. So let's go ahead and jump in. Welcome to the podcast. I am so excited to chat with you today about the power of video in the classroom, helping kids share their learning through video. But before we jump into all of that, would love for you to share a bit about your role in education. What does your day-to-day look like?
Yeah, thank you. I'm really excited to be here. Thank you so much, Monica. Hi, my name is Stu Jernigan. I'm an education specialist with We Video. I think of what I do as building a bridge between our product and the classroom. I'm a former high school humanities teacher myself. And so I design and lead our professional development. We currently offer 10 unique workshops on implementing media in the classroom. I design the projects, activities, and resources found in the assignment ideas library that we launched this summer. And then I create resources more generally to help educators implement We Video in the classroom, tutorial videos, and things along those lines.
Fantastic. And some listeners might remember, because I mentioned it before, my mother's a retired high school humanities teacher, social studies, and an ELA. And I love chatting with people who have that classroom perspective and then are also thinking around resources and just making things easy for educators who are looking to jump in, maybe try something new or try something for the first time in a little bit. And so today we're talking about video in the classroom, specifically students as creators. So how can students share their learning using this medium?
Great question. Yeah, there's so many ways. I think it's useful to think about student media creation in sort of two different buckets, right? We have our big sort of media projects where students create media as a culminating activity to demonstrate their learning over the course of a unit of study. And then you have your sort of day-to-day activities, formative assessments, and routines where students can also use video, taking a quick webcam recording for an exit ticket, something along those lines. I think video projects work great as a means to enhance literacy. So students can easily turn any piece of writing into a piece of media. And I think the Common Core State Standards for Literacy provide a useful framework for thinking about media projects in the classroom. So if we think about students writing a personal narrative piece, that can easily be turned into a video. We've seen great examples with students writing Where I'm From poems and then turning those into videos. Students can easily turn an informational piece of writing into a film, such as a history or animal report being turned into a history documentary or a short nature film. And then students can easily turn a persuasive or argumentative essay into a video book review, a PSA, call to action, and things along those lines. I also think video projects provide a great alternative to slide presentations. So thinking about if you're using WeVideo, we have a stock media library. So students can really quickly create a video that pairs video clips, text, voice recording, and music to create a really dynamic presentation of learning.
I love those examples that you shared. And one of the things that I appreciate always is just that connection between what we might have done in the past, what we might feel comfortable with, right? And then trying out this new way of sharing learning, whether it's that animal research report, right? Or a book that a student loves. And you mentioned too, just these different, almost like author's purpose, right? The persuade, the entertain, the inform an audience. So just so many different connections, like you mentioned, to ELA standards, what you might be committed to from a literacy side of things, but then those cross-curricular examples too. I imagine that there's a jump here that you've seen in terms of the benefits, right? Or sometimes they think of them as the value adds that you might have observed when students use video. So what are some of those key benefits that you've seen when kids use video to share their learning experiences?
Yeah. So first thing that comes to mind is engagement. One of the things that I regularly hear from teachers is that media projects are where they see the highest engagement from students. I hear teachers say that they see the highest completion rates from students with assignments, highest levels of energy and investment in the work, and that they see that across the board from students who regularly perform well, as well as students who maybe have struggled with other assignments. And I heard that feedback over the pandemic as well when educators were teaching remotely, so both in person and with remote learning. And I think part of the reason for that is that media projects provide an opportunity for students to share their work with an authentic audience. In his book, Leaders of Their Own Learning, are you familiar with Ron Berger from BL Education? Yeah, so he talks about the impact of audience on student engagement and motivation. And at the low end of engagement, motivation is what we most often ask students to do, complete work to turn into a teacher. And then motivation engagement increases as the audience becomes more broad and authentic. So students creating work to share with their peers, in class presentations, for example, to share work with the broader school community, and then people capable of critiquing their work, such as experts in the field. And then finally, he talks about students being able to have an impact, a real world impact through the media that they create or through exhibiting work in a public manner. And so I think that's one of the key sort of benefits of media projects is it provides an opportunity for students to make media about something that they care about, that matters to them, and really have their voice heard and reach an authentic audience and potentially make an impact on something that they care about.
Just that student engagement component is huge, right? We know, especially we're recording this today in October, right? So someone who's listening right as this goes live might feel like they're hitting that like that fall, the beginning of fall slump of, okay, we're in the routines, but some of the new stuff or the exciting pieces might have fallen to the side. And that idea of bringing in something that's highly engaging, that connects to an audience. And I know I always think of the things that we consume all day long, right? It's in the morning now that we're together chatting, and I've already listened to half a podcast episode and a chunk of a YouTube video, right? That's up to me. And so for kids who are consuming lots of content, I absolutely agree that giving them that authentic audience, right? Having them create something that's like what they are consuming is just a huge benefit. You already shared a couple of great examples that I think teachers could wrap their head around, that they could see what this might look like in their environment. But do you have any other innovative ways students can use video to demonstrate understanding? Do you have any specific examples from your work with schools?
Yeah, so I think some of the best examples I've seen are where students actually capture original media, right? They're like surfacing a story and telling something new that hasn't been told before. And especially when that's rooted in their own personal experience that connects to broader themes or issues that other people can connect to. I attended an exhibition at High Tech High where a group of students presented a particularly impactful short documentary that they made about a nonprofit in San Diego called Border Angels. And so the students interviewed members of the nonprofit. They participated in a volunteer day where they hiked out into the desert and left water for people. And they documented their experience and created a short film to share with hundreds of people in a public format, fielding questions from the audience. Mm-hmm. And I just thought this is a great example where students are able to use video to elevate voices from within their community and tell their own story and create a humanizing discourse. And that's not how students from marginalized communities always experience education in society. So media projects can be especially powerful and transformative in that context. And to me, this is just such a great example of a deep learning experience in culturally relevant pedagogy.
Yeah. And just what, as you're describing that, I feel like there's almost this like checklist that's in my mind, right? Of all the things that these students are accomplishing, right? That community connection, that ability to speak, right? Publicly in front of an audience, to present their work, to field questions, right? There's just so many components of that that go above and beyond the actual movie, right, or video that they've created, but that's where it all started, right? That's the core piece. And just to capture that community action, I can imagine whether it's middle schoolers or high schoolers, or I taught elementary school and my students had to put together a portfolio of their work, like to show right off to the middle school that they were applying for, and just that ability to speak to something that they've done that's so dynamic is definitely a powerful way to think about the use of a video in the classroom. And someone who might be listening now, whether they're in a classroom setting, supporting classroom teachers, right, or in and out of classrooms throughout the school week, might be curious on how this connects to assessment, right? What it means to evaluate video projects. So how can educators assess and evaluate student-generated video content effectively?
That's a great question. Yes, of course, we can develop rubrics. And I think in doing so, it's important to balance assessing digital literacy and communication skills. Things like, is the voice recording clear? Do they use music to enhance emotion? Do they attribute others for their creative work? With how well their video project demonstrates understanding of content knowledge, academic skills, critical thinking, the same kinds of things you might assess in someone's writing, for example. Are they expressing originality and ideas? And then I think a great way to generate rubrics is to have students watch a model of what they're going to create and have them identify the features that make that video an example of high quality work. In our workshops, we sometimes use a See, Think, Wonder routine from the Harvard Graduate School of Education's Project Zero to facilitate this. You watch a video and then you use that routine to identify those features of high quality work. And then students can use that list of features to help visualize and plan their work. As a class, you might build a rubric out of those features, and then students might use those features as the basis to provide peer feedback on drafts of each other's videos, the scripts, storyboards, the rough drafts of their videos, and then use that feedback to develop a plan to iterate on their work as they build towards a finished product.
I love that connection to an exemplar, right? The student created rubric that they can become, you know, a part of that process. And I know that sometimes when I'm talking to educators about trying something that might feel different, like this form of creating a learning artifact, we really can come back to that rubric that's worked really well in other ways, right? Or the content piece, right? Maybe that is a starting component to say, does it have a hook? That's going to be in your persuasive essay, just the same way it's going to be in your public service announcement video, right? So I just love those content connections and appreciate you mentioning that. And you did allude to this idea of digital literacy, right? Is this clear? Is this something that I have the right attributions for the work that I've included? Or did I source the music appropriately, right? So in terms of digital literacy, how can video projects help students develop, you know, these critical skills that they're going to use in lots of different spaces outside of the classroom?
Yeah, that's a great question. Of course, when students create a video, they're engaged in creative work, which is a critical 21st century skill. They're thinking critically about how to effectively communicate their message to their initial audience in order to achieve a desired outcome. And of course, the way videos often get made is through a collaborative process that involves writers, directors, editors, actors, and so on. So there's a lot of rich opportunity there. I think it can be useful to situate this in a specific context. So it's October, so Digital Citizenship Week is later this month, right? Mm-hmm. So one of the assignments we have in the Assignment Ideas Library invites students to create videos in the form of a PSA or a call to action, informing their peers about how to practice positive digital citizenship. So for this project, you could have students working in teams to create videos, and they'd work together to decide on the topic, conduct and organize research, storyboard, film, and edit. And then this specific assignment invites the class to use their videos to work together to launch a digital citizenship campaign aimed at the broader school community. As part of this, students might organize a screening event, launch a marketing campaign to advertise that event, host a public discussion, and so on. So I think that's just like an example where students are tasked with solving a real world problem, and they have to think through the best way to approach that problem and use video to maximize impact.
And just those are all things that can transfer, right, to so many different things that students do or interact with across different subject areas, across different content areas. I love that connection that we're not teaching these skills in isolation, right? But that it could go right alongside a project or something that students are working on. For educators who are new to this concept of integrating video, at least maybe they've shown videos, right, in their classroom or short clips, but integrating video with students as creators, what are some foundational steps, some strategies that they should consider if they're going to try this out with a group of students?
I encourage educators to create their own video and maybe start there. I think that can be helpful just to go through the process and maybe think about what you want to have students create and create your own example. You can share that with students. I think generally students appreciate seeing those examples from their teachers. You might start with something simple like an About Me video, and that can be a great way to build community towards the beginning of the school year. And also for the teacher and the students to learn how to use the video editor, if that's WeVideo, for example. In terms of like project design, I think it's helpful to think about what you're already teaching that might lend itself well to a media project. So we talked about how any writing project or any unit where students are conducting research, those projects really lend themselves well to turn into a media project. We have a bunch of engaging media projects in our Assignment Ideas Library. So if people are using WeVideo, they might start there and implement one of those projects that are ready to go. And then if you're having students develop media, I think it helps to go through the writing process that we're familiar with and then have them turn their writing into a script, a storyboard. If you're having them capture their own media, introducing skills around lighting, framing shots can be helpful for students. And then I think media projects provide a great opportunity for students to make choices about their learning. So they can make media about topics that are important to them or that they want to learn more about and can actually affect change by sharing their media with an audience. I think it's important to consider how students will share their media. Who are they going to share their media with and what format, et cetera.
And all of those components are things that someone who is new to this, is trying this out for the first time or first time in a long time, can really scale, right? So I appreciate that. I kind of sometimes call it like a lower lift example, right? Like an All About Me, something where you already know the stuff, right? You don't need to get anything right or wrong, right? You have your fun facts you're going to share in that video. And then you're able to press all the buttons, right? Get comfortable with the tool or the platform and then scale it up with that content expectations over the course of the school year. And one reason that I love video as a medium is because it's so open-ended, right? You could take a project like you suggested that you already have or you have the resources for or that you've envisioned in another format and really transfer it to a space that gives kids so much choice and flexibility. And you, of course, do mention some of the resources that WeVideo has. We'll link out to those so that listeners can find and learn more. But tell us more about WeVideo, what it can do, what it looks like in action, some of the things that really sets it apart.
Yeah, so our mission is to empower everyone to make an impact on the world through creative expression. And so we do that through providing tools. So we have several integrated tools. We We have an online video editing tool, a screencasting tool, which can be great for creating instructional videos, for example. We have an interactive video tool that allows users to embed questions in videos and make them interactive. And then we have classroom features that helps with implementing media projects. As far as our video editing tool, it's an online video editing tool that works with any device, which makes it great for use in K-12 mm-hmm. schools. It supports real-time collaboration, so students can collaborate on projects from separate devices, and they'll see the edits that each other are making in real time. There's a comment feature where they can actually communicate with each other in the editor, which can be useful if you're going to pause on your project, for example, and you want to make sure you take note of what you need to do next, distribute tasks and things like that. Teachers can actually access students' work and open up the editor, see what they're doing, leave comments to provide feedback. So there's some really great management tools that are embedded. I mentioned that we have a stock media library with over 1 million royalty-free images, video clips, and audio clips. So that can be great for just doing some quick editing or maybe supplementing the media that you've captured yourself. And then there are some really powerful, fun editing features like green screen and color correction and things along those lines.
Fantastic. And we'll link out to all of this for listeners so that if someone is listening in, wants to explore a bit more, they can just click all the buttons in the description and the show notes and find out more. But for someone who's maybe on the move today and wants to make more of that bookmark, mental bookmark, to come back to all of this later, where can people connect with you, Stu? Where can they connect with the We Video team?
Yeah, I'm on LinkedIn, linkedin.com/Stu Jernigan. I'm on Twitter and Threads at Stu Jernigan. We Video is also on all of those platforms at We Video. Would love to connect with listeners. So yeah, please reach out.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for your time today, Stu.
Thank you, Monica.
It was lots of fun chatting with Stu for today's episode. Let's make this EdTech easy with a few key points from our conversation. You can use video any day or for an end of unit project. Make connections to literacy skills. Use media projects to boost engagement. Remember, you can find the show notes and the full list of resources from this episode at classtechtips.com/podcast, including all of the ways to connect with the team at We Video. Before we go, I'd like to give one final shout out to We Video for sponsoring today's episode. Whether you're teaching foundational concepts or exploring complex subject matter, We Video empowers educators, administrators, and students to harness the unlimited potential of video. Sign up today and experience We Video for yourself. Head to www.wevideo.com/signup. That's wevideo.com/signup. If you're listening to this episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or another favorite app, don't forget to hit the follow button. When you follow along with the podcast, each new episode, including bonus ones like this one, will download for you automatically. That way you don't miss a thing. And if you have a moment and are feeling extra helpful today, please leave a rating or review for the podcast. It helps other educators find this podcast when they're searching for topics like ed tech or video or teaching in their podcast app. Have a great week and hope to see you on Tuesday morning for another new episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast.